We're turning to Jude. We're studying in that little book of Jude. Tremendous book. Next to Revelation, the last book in the Bible. So turn with us. We'll read our key verses, which are verses 20 and 21. Jude, verses 20 and 21. All right. Have you all found it? If you have, let's read those two verses out loud together. You read them with me out loud. Here we go. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Praise the Lord. Now, I told you he is giving this in contrast to what he'd already given them on those apostates, those who had turned away from the faith of Christ. And we dealt with that yesterday, so we won't review it today. But now he tells the beloved, he said, but ye beloved. And that's how he started out. He started the epistle to the beloved. You see, of necessity, the Lord directs his word to those who believe it, to those who receive it. He sent his word. Of course, he's given his word. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. And thank the Lord, what a privilege it is to open our hearts to the Word of God. Dear ones, the Word of God's what made this universe. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. All things are held in their perspective orbits by the mighty Word of God. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And all things were created by Him and for Him. And without Him was not anything made which was made. And then to think, He let that Word become flesh. For how many know? The Word was Jesus. That was his name before he was born in Bethlehem. He was the Word. Remember John? He said, the Word was with God and the Word was God. Remember? Then he said, the Word was made flesh. So Jesus was the Word made flesh. When we see Jesus Christ walking through the Gospels, we see what the Word of God will do. What did it do? Why, dear hearts, it went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Isn't that right? He was that light. He said, I am the light of the world. And David said, the entrance of thy word giveth what? Giveth light. And wherever Jesus went, darkness was dissipated before his presence. Isn't it amazing that God made it that way? From the very beginning, God gave light the preeminence over darkness. We know that's true. We just know it so we take it for granted. But aren't you glad it's so? Aren't you glad that darkness can't crowd out light? Did you ever go in a cave where there were no lights whatsoever and then someone turned on the light? Oh, how you appreciated that light. Usually they get you down in Carlsbad Caverns, and it may be other caves too, but they'll get you down there where there isn't any light. You see, darkness is the absence of light. Darkness is just the absence of light. And when they get you down in the recesses of that cave where no light can reach at all, then the guide will say, now everyone stand perfectly still. We want to give you an idea of what absolute darkness is, and he turns out all the lights. Well, after he turns out the lights, he doesn't have to tell you to stand still. You will stand still. You can't see. Honestly, you almost feel the darkness pushing in on you. And the last time we were there, he struck a match. He said, now, here, give you an idea of what light will do. And he wasn't even thinking of it in the terms of Christianity. He struck a little match. And you can't imagine the light that one little match gave in that absolute darkness. You could see it flickering off on the walls, which way you looked. That one little match illuminated the darkness. You see. Why? Because God gave light the power over darkness. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Then he said, now ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men. He said, let it shine. Where is it? It's within us. The kingdom of God is within you, see. And we're going to study this morning. The prayer is a fueling station. There is where we renew fellowship. We keep the connection clear. Hallelujah. And he's telling us here, the beloved, but ye beloved, building up yourselves. You're not going to let your light go out. No. You're going to build up yourselves on your most holy faith. Then he tells us how to do it. He tells us we do it by praying in the Holy Spirit, by keeping ourselves in the love of God, and by looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? He gives us, he doesn't just say, let your light shine and then, you know, leave us in the dark. He tells us how to let it shine. Hallelujah. First, by building up ourselves on our most holy faith. Now listen, beloved. Faith, we all know, faith begins as what? It begins as a gift. God gives us faith. That's why there's no room for boasting. No Christian has any right to lift up ourselves. Whatever God does through us, we have no right to, for self-glorification, because all that we have, we receive from the Lord. Even the faith we have, we didn't have that faith when we came to Him. We had conviction. We had the sense of sin, of guilt, of fear, or whatever. But when we humbled our heart, I told you, the door of the heart swings on the hinges of humility, you see. And as soon as we humbled our heart, confessed our need, repented toward God, in comes faith. Well, in comes Jesus Christ, and He's the author. He's the originator of our faith. But notice He's not only the author, He's also the finisher or perfecter of our faith. He begins it and He perfects it. You see, faith begins as a gift, but it grows as a fruit. You take the gifts of the Spirit, which, by the way, I believe are listed in 1 Corinthians 12, and then you take the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, I believe it is, you'll find that faith is the only one listed in both categories. Faith, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit, you know, and there are 9 fruit of the Spirit. Faith is listed in both categories. Faith is a gift, it's also a fruit. Begins as a gift, God gives us faith. Praise His wonderful name. And Romans 12:3, it tells us, God giveth to every man that comes to Him, every man that opens their heart to Him, God giveth to every man the measure of faith. Now, beloved, this leads me to believe, when you opened your heart to Jesus Christ, He gave you the measure of faith. What measure? The measure necessary to take you through. I'm glad the Lord isn't stingy. He's a good giver. Hallelujah. I said He's a good giver. God so loved that He gave what? He gave His only begotten Son. He gave the best heaven had. He didn't send an angel or a cherubim or a seraphim. He sent His only Son. And dear friend, when God gives, He gives sufficiently. Praise His wonderful name. And He gives us the measure of faith, but we have a responsibility. We must take what God gives us and then develop that faith. It's a fruit that must be developed. Well, fruit, of course, is an expression. You take the fruit of a tree, the apple, the orange, or whatever. That's the expression of that tree. You know the tree by its fruit. Isn't that right? Now, Jesus used that very phrase, you know. He said, by their fruit you shall know them. And, of course, He was speaking primarily then spiritually. But by the natural fruit you know the tree. By the fruit you know the Christian. What is the fruit? The Bible says in Hebrews 13:15, by Him, by Jesus, therefore, let us offer unto God continually the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. The fruit the Lord wants from the Christian that reveals the kind of tree that he is comes out his mouth. It's an expression. Just like the apple or orange is an expression, our words are not our words' expression. We're expressing ourselves, aren't we, when we give forth words. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 12, I believe it's 12 verse, is it 13 or 17? Jesus said, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Words are important. How many know that's true? They really, really are. You see, that's why when we accepted Christ into our heart, He said, if thou wilt believe in your heart, Romans, remember 10 verses 8 and 10, if thou wilt believe in thine heart and what? Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, you see. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth, with the heart. Now mind you, He said with the heart, not just with the head. A lot of us had this in our head before we got in our heart. Amen. We knew all about it, but we didn't know Him. Makes a difference when you know Him, isn't it? Praise the Lord. So you see, it's with the heart man believeth. Then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart the mouth will speak. So let's just get our hearts filled with faith and love toward Jesus Christ by considering Him, learning to love Him through His Word, praising His name, praying to the Lord. All these things. Keep a relationship. Christianity, friend, the outward expression is words, but it's really a relationship. It's an inner relationship. Well, the words would mean nothing if there were not that inner relationship. And since I'm usually speaking to Christians, I don't dwell too much on that, but here lately I've been emphasizing it a lot because some are trying to think they can take this wonderful privilege of confessing the Word of God and confessing God's promises without having the relationship. Forget it. You can't take peaches and apples and hang them on a board. That's a crude illustration, isn't it? I mean, they've got to be on a living tree. Amen? And I told you, I'd like to get into a study, by the way. It says He's given us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, back in Isaiah 61, that we might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. He said, given us this garment of praise, expression, that we might be called the trees of righteousness. Man can't see the inner relationship in our heart. They must hear it expressed from our mouth. If we do have that relationship, we certainly ought to have the expression of it. Amen? And learn to speak from what we believe in our heart and not let our mind be influenced by our feelings or by circumstances, but dare to believe the Word of God and confess that faith that's in our heart. For that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, that's the inner relationship bringing us peace with God, and the word of our testimony, you see. And Jesus is telling us here to get back in our scripture. Oh, there's so much you can tie into this. But getting back to our scripture on prayer, He's telling us, but ye beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. I've given you faith, He's telling us. Now He says, you build yourself up on that faith. It begins as a gift, but it's going to be developed, how? As you express it. Give expression to your faith. Someone said, express your faith and let your doubts just starve to death. I like that. Because how many know, really doubt doesn't have any power till you begin to express it. Oh, it can present itself to our mind. That's the battleground. But remember, dear ones, just because doubt comes to our minds doesn't mean it's ours yet. Satan's trying to sell it to us. And he's a sly old fox. He's been in the business a long time. He'll try to make you think it's your thoughts. He'll try to make you think you bought them before you have really received them. Let me give you a little secret. Oh, this helped me so much when I finally learned this. I found as long as in my spirit I didn't want that thought, it wasn't mine yet. As long as it was troubling my spirit, that proved it really didn't come from me. My spirit's rejecting it. I've had young people say, oh, Brother McAdams, I just had some bad thoughts. Oh, I feel so badly about it. I said, praise the Lord, you feel badly about it. You know what that proves? That proves they're really a born-again Christian. Their spirit's rejecting those bad thoughts. They don't want them, you see. Now, bad thoughts, of course, not only can take the form of vulgar and all of that, bad thoughts can be unbelief and fear. Anything that's contrary to our faith, we can just say it's bad. Isn't that true? And as long as your spirit doesn't want it, don't let the old devil make you think you've already bought the bag. No, you haven't. What he's trying to do is to make us think they're from our own spirit and get us to start confessing them. And if we start confessing those doubts, then they have a way of moving in. Amen? Don't confess them. If I came up to your door, knocked on the door, and you came to the door and I smiled so nicely, could I sell you this nice basket of rattlesnakes? I have an idea you'd close the door in a hurry. How many would? And you wouldn't be polite about it. Now, folks, when it comes to handling the old devil and his doubts, you can't be polite. This is hard for some of us to learn because Jesus teaches us to be kind to one another, to love him, you know. But I tell you, dear ones, the more we love God, the more we can hate evil. It's like a pendulum on the clock. The more it swings this way, the more it's going to swing that way. And while we must and do love him because he first loved us, we can't deal with the old devil in his doubts and dirty tricks like we love God. Are you getting this? This was hard for me. I don't like to speak sharply. But I tell you, when bad thoughts come, say, I don't want these bad thoughts. In Jesus' name, Jesus, I love you. And the best way is overcome evil with good. Just overcome evil with good, like you overcome darkness with light. Hallelujah. Get your mind on Jesus. Realize you don't want those bad thoughts. Start thinking about your blessed Lord. It'll help you to start singing about Him or start talking to Him. You've all done it. I'm just telling you what this, you know this works, you see. You just begin to get your mind on that which is good and that which is true. If there, that's why He tells us there, that beautiful scripture in Philippians, isn't it, 4:18, He says, therefore, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good report. You know, isn't that beautiful? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And don't condemn yourself if bad thoughts come. They'll come. How many know they'll come? You've never had them, have you? Oh, I'm so glad. No. You know, I wish it were true that they wouldn't even come. But dear ones, someone said, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you sure can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Amen. And so the bad thoughts will fly over our head, but we don't have to let them nest there. Because if you let them nest there, they'll lay eggs and hatch out little ones. There'll be a bunch of them. There'll be a brood of them before long. And then you'll have to have a house cleaning. Are y'all listening good? Thank the Lord. I'm glad this morning God's given us His word. Hallelujah. And He said He'd keep us in perfect peace. Whose mind is what? Stayed on thee. How do we keep our mind stayed on the Lord? Stayed on His word. He is the living word. So we just look to the word, the promise. When fear comes, think of a good promise. Perfect love casts out all fear. Hallelujah. Lord, you said you'd never leave me, so I don't have to be afraid. Oh, what time I trust in the Lord. David said, I'll not be afraid. I'm trusting the Lord. His presence reassures my heart. Amen. And beloved, that's why I love to teach the word of God, because the more we express this word, we know it's true. Our spirit tells us it's true. Everything within us registers. This is right. This is true. Therefore, dear hearts, let's turn our back upon that which would cause fear and doubt and all of these things. Let's stay upon our God. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. Build up yourself on your most holy faith. I told you it begins as a gift that God gives you. You're all saved. I'm sure of that this morning. You're here because of a hunger for God. And it's only saved people that have that kind of a hunger comes to prayer meeting and Bible study. People think we're fanatical. Praise the Lord, we are. For Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. For truth. And because of that, we come to hear His word, but we not only want to hear His word, we want to be doers of the word. That means put it in practice. Speak it forth. You have the right to do it. I guarantee you, Jesus will let you talk about Him. And I tell you, it's a lot better to talk about Jesus than someone else. Are y'all still listening good? There's too much preaching in this, isn't there? But here it is. You see, we build up ourselves. This faith He's given us, it's developed. The fruit is developed as we express it, as we express our faith. The more we express that faith, those promises, hallelujah, we're releasing what God's put within us through the expression of it. And beloved, that's why, let's face it, we're living in a world that just wants to hush us Christians up. Oh, we wouldn't bother them so much if we wouldn't be so noisy about it. If we just stay off the radio and stay off of everything else and just shut up. Well, if we have to go to church, shut yourself in those little churches. Don't bother the world now. And they're doing their best to get legislation to get that affected. They never will. You know, China tried to do that. They tried to just push Christians in a corner and no more confessing. They were forbidden to share their faith and all of that. Now there's more Christians in China, they say, than before they started all of it. Isn't that amazing? Because Christians, the more they try to squelch it, the real Christian, he just must give confession to that. And somehow the more opposition there is, the more grace is given to make that confession. Hallelujah. But here we are in America. We don't have such opposition as that. But we do have opposition. It takes other forms. But friend, let's let nothing keep us from confessing the faith that we have. That's how we're building up ourselves on our most holy faith, where it's being developed, it's growing as we confess it. Confess the promises. Confess our love to Jesus. Confess them to our neighbor. You know, you don't have to be preaching all the time. No, you can't cram religion down people's throat, as they say. But I'll tell you what we can do. We can be ready to give a word for the Lord. We can be ready at all times. We can be instant, in season and out of season. Hallelujah. It's amazing sometimes what just a word will do. Amen. Praise God. I believe we should be more quick and ready to give that word for our Lord. Don't you think so? And haven't you found as you get your heart ready and keep your heart right with the Lord, and well, he does make openings for you to give that word. Oh, don't you love that verse of scripture in Proverbs? It says, the preparation of the heart is with man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. If we'll prepare the heart, God will help us speak right. Keep our hearts in full fellowship with him. You see, oh, sometimes we get so concerned we don't speak just right. And we want to say it just right. And that's good. But I tell you, the best thing for us to do is just keep in love with Jesus and love him with all our heart. Hallelujah. And praise him. And keep our heart full of faith and love and the word. Then, dear heart, don't you worry. Out of that abundance of your heart will come the right words. They'll just come out because your heart's right. Your words are right. Amen. And on the other hand, someone that isn't even saved, he could say some right words, but he won't be consistent. Don't step on his toe. His words might change. Amen. But thank God, because that we have been given a faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's abiding in us and we're abiding in him, hallelujah, then this faith he's given us, it'll stand the test. And dear friend, that's the only secret, because you can't learn this. These seminars, we thank God for them. We want to talk the word together. But really, it's your relationship with the Lord that's going to cause these things to be produced through all of our lives. Things are going to happen so quickly sometimes, you don't have time to look in Proverbs and find that a soft answer turns away wrath. Are you listening? What would you do if someone ran at you with their fist clenched? We had this happen down in South America. A man ran at me. We just had a marvelous move there in his house. He was gone. Our daughter was there in the house, get packing up, getting ready to come back to America. The owner of the house was gone. And here he came in, and we'd had 13 people there. The neighbors had been coming in, and 13 of them had found the Lord. Now, I'll tell you, all of them with Catholic background. God had moved on their heart. My daughter had been praying for them all the time she'd been down there. And God gave her a great big bunch of fruit right before she came home. Isn't that just like the Lord? 13 of them came in. And one of them was filled with the Spirit that didn't even know what the Holy Spirit was. Never had heard anyone speak in tongues. But she got wonderfully saved, delivered from the old devil's trying to make her commit suicide. Her husband had jilted her and left her and had broken her heart. And so she came to really to buy some things. My daughter was having a porch sale. You ever hear about porch sales up here? They're having them everywhere, aren't they? Well, she was having one down in South America, and we were in prayer. We were going to prayer that morning and didn't know that this beautiful Spanish girl was at the door, and the door was open. It was in December, but it's summertime in December down there. You know, seasons are reversed. And so she heard us praying. Now, we were praying in English, and she didn't know a word of English. But we were praying, you know, taking turns praying, and she just stopped and waited till we finished praying. And when we finished, she knocked on the door. My daughter goes to the door, and here stands this beautiful girl, and she's crying. Tears are running down her cheeks. And we could hear them speaking Spanish, wife and I. We didn't know Spanish. But soon my daughter comes in bringing this girl, and she says, this is Anna Marie. And she was standing there, and she heard us praying. And she said, while she heard us praying, something told her that here was her answer. She's been wanting to commit suicide, and she knows she shouldn't. And she'd been asking God to help her. She hadn't probably been to church in years, but her background was Catholic, you know. But she, you know how you can have a name belong to any church and not having gone in years, you know. But she did have enough fear of God. She knew it was wrong to take her own life, you know. But something was driving her. Well, we know who that was, don't we? To take her own life. Why, the Lord will never drive us. He leads us in paths of righteousness. The old devil would drive people to self-destruction. But anyhow, she said she sensed this was her answer. And she didn't understand a word we said. It had to be the Holy Spirit. She didn't understand any words. The Holy Spirit, she sensed that love and that faith that God had put in our hearts. And we didn't even know she was there. And she stood there, and my daughter turned to her, and she was standing there, tears going down her cheeks. And my daughter led her to the Lord about, well, in 5 minutes' time, she had her hands lifted. She'd never seen anyone lift their hands to praise the Lord. But there's something about it. How many know when the joy hits your heart, the lightning rods go up for more? Up went her hands, and she began to rejoice in the Lord. And the next morning, right at the same time, we didn't invite her back. We almost missed it. How dumb we are sometimes. She came back with eight people. Her mother, her sister, her aunt, and some others, they were all concerned. Spanish people are real close. Their families are very closely knit. And they were so concerned about Anna Marie, you know, knowing that she had this suicidal tendency and her husband jilting her and all. So they saw her come home with joy, and they realized she was free from that. What's happened, Anna Marie? What's happened? You know what they must have said. Well, she told them. Oh, did she tell them? And here she brings them with her. We want to know about this. See, behind it all, my daughter had been praying, oh God, help me win some of these precious neighbors of mine. She'd won others, but those neighbors, she was in a residential area, they were hard to reach. You know, they were kind of closed off from everything. You know how some areas are. And here God sent them into her. Eight of them the second morning. I was telling you about the third morning a while ago, 13 the third morning. But the second morning, there was eight of them. One by one, they accepted the Lord. One by one, they saw the burden lift from their hearts. One by one, they began to praise the Lord. And then the third morning, here they came back again. The third morning, she had 13 with her. You know, I said, oh, dear me. We just had sold all my daughter's chairs. Didn't have a chair for them to sit in. But they have great big heavy drawers they recess in the wall. They don't have clothes hangers. Perhaps there's a scarcity of wire. They fold everything, suits, shirts, everything folded, and they're placed in big wooden drawers recessed in the wall. And I thought of those big wooden drawers. So when I saw all these people coming in, I thought, we're going to have church today. I pulled out those big wooden drawers and aged them up and said, I told my daughter to have them sit on those chairs. They were the pews for the occasion. You can make church in her if you have to. And here Anna Marie is just bubbling over. See, she'd given her heart to the Lord 2 days before. And her mother and these others came back. They bring some more, 13 that third day. And again, they began to give their heart to the Lord. And my daughter got carried away. You should have heard her. Of course, she was the only one that could reach them in Spanish. I would sometimes speak and she'd interpret, but she did most of it. And finally, she was singing, making up the song as she went. In Spanish, she was telling them that Jesus took their burdens. Jesus bore them at the cross. Jesus died that they could live. Jesus, oh, it was all about Jesus. And she was singing, and she'd have them to sing. You should have seen those Catholics. Talk about fanaticism. Remember that, honey? It wasn't long. They got up off those benches. My daughter, she's just praising God, tears streaming down her cheeks. Here she's seeing these dear people give their heart to God. And it wasn't long until all of them were on their feet, praising God and going around there. Jesus took my burden in Spanish, you know. And they're going around there waving their arms and singing and some of them almost dancing. Think, oh, dear Lord, what's going on around here, you know? Oh, it's a joy of the Lord that they'd never known anything about. And all of a sudden, Anna Marie, the one that came first, all of a sudden, the power of the Lord came on her. She began to tremble. She began to speak in a heavenly language. She came to my daughter. Oh, she said, what am I saying? What am I saying? You know. And my daughter looked at me. We just had talked about this, that we ought to get them together the next day, which would be Saturday, and tell them about the Holy Spirit, you know. And my daughter looked at me. She said, Daddy, we're too slow. The Lord's done it. God filled her with the Holy Spirit because the hunger of her heart somehow found expression in praise to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit just came. Doesn't he help us come to praise the Lord? Doesn't he come to enlighten us? And there the Lord filled her with the Holy Spirit. Now, it wasn't a bit hard to explain to her what she had. You get someone filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's so easy then for them to understand. Amen. And there she was and the others. This had started at 8 o'clock. It was after 12. It was 12:30 when they finally, full of joy and full of praise, left that house. We were all just absolutely weak from joy. I mean, you can joy until you're just weak from joy. I tell you, I was sitting down on one of those boxes, you know. My wife had gone into the kitchen. The cook was there in the kitchen, and she didn't know any English. But they were in there having fellowship together because they both loved the Lord, you know. It's amazing how you can commune with and communicate, even though you don't know their language. If you both love Jesus, you can point up and point to your heart and say, he's good. And they were in there having fellowship together, and all of a sudden the owner of that house came in. And I'll tell you, when God moves, how many know the devil gets disturbed? Well, there could have been a shooting next door. There could have been everything else going on that wouldn't disturb the neighbors or anyone else, you know, much, too much. But because here's this excitement, holy joy, people giving their heart to the Lord, you know. Here this man came in, he is American, and I never saw such anger in my life. His eyes, have you ever seen anyone so angry that their eyes were just glazed with anger? Just glazed with anger? He had his fist clenched and he ran right at me. He ran at me. Get out of my house. Get out now or I'll call the police. And I'm sitting there and I'm so full of joy, I don't know what to do. Now, folks, I want to tell you, God can overrule these things in our hearts until I don't take any credit. Why, in the natural, anyone run at you with their fist clenched, you do your best to defend yourself. But I didn't have any idea of defending myself. It didn't even come to my mind. I looked up at him. I said, oh, sir. I said, we can't leave now. I says, you know, I talk softer. I'm talking to you, really. Beloved, a soft answer turns away wrath. Now, I didn't have time to look that up in Proverbs. You better be filled with the Holy Ghost. Isn't he the one that brings all things to our remembrance? Amen. If we'll stay filled with the Holy Spirit, that's what he's telling. He said, but praying in the Holy Spirit, that's one way we build ourselves up on our most holy faith, is praying in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to get on that. That means praying in other tongues. You know, not only praying with our understanding, but praying with the Spirit. That's one of his ministries. But then let me finish what happened. My wife said, honey, don't ever leave us hanging on one of your stories. Because people come up and say, what happened, what happened, what happened? How many want to know what happened? Did he kill me? I guarantee you he didn't kill me. He wanted to. He turned. My wife heard this commotion. She came out of the kitchen to see what in the world's happening in there. And he heard her, and he turned from me. I was just sitting there grinning, you know. It's kind of hard to hit someone grinning at you. You know, it really is. If I had gotten in the wrong spirit, I give God all the praise, people, please. You stay, though, in a morning prayer meeting 4 hours and see people get saved and filled with the Spirit. You're in the Spirit, but then if you're not, there's no hope for you. I mean, you know, but God was so real that I just sat there full of the joy that God had put in our hearts. He turns and ran at my wife just like he'd ran at me. And he called her an ugly name. Oh, dear me. Now, ordinarily, that would have set me off. Ordinarily, you know, I hadn't thought about myself. When he ran at my wife and called her a ugly name, ordinarily, I'd been up on my feet and say, look here, buddy. You know, you've gone far. But there I sat, still just smiling. I look back now and I can't believe it. He ran at my wife, and you know what she did? You should have seen that. I wish I had a camera that had that on camera. Here he comes running, and he was taller than I was. He was a big old bruiser. He ran at her, and she saw him coming, and her eyes got big, and all of a sudden she said, ooh, hallelujah! And she just spun around like a top. What do you call it, pirouetting, you know? She just spun around like a top, saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah! He stopped about 3 feet from her, and I saw his mouth went open, his hands went unclenched. He went as limp as a dish rag. You thought she'd hit him in the head with a stick. He just went limp. I want to tell you, folks, the Holy Spirit, God will fight our battles if we'll let him. And he'll win them, too. And that man, all the fight just died out of him. The anger went out of his eyes. He turned around and just kind of came back, limped back over toward me. Completely defeated. Well, he says, you will have to leave. Just so nice. He says, get your things together and I'll go down and get your tickets. We had to buy bus tickets to get to Santiago to catch the plane. Well, it just so happened the Lord had already impressed us to get packed. We had everything packed 3 days in advance. We just somehow felt impressed. We didn't know this was going to happen. But I've got a conviction God knows what's going to happen. I said, I've got a conviction the Lord knows. And if we'll prepare our heart, he'll prepare our tongue. I said, if we'll keep the fellowship with our blessed Lord, we won't, beloved, be caught in those emergencies where we would be pushed under. The times we get pushed under is when we got too busy to take enough time with the Lord. Come on now. Cut the prayer corner short, you know. And then you say, well, I wish I'd had time to pray about this. Well, I tell you, it just pays for us, doesn't it, beloved, to take the time to pray and have fellowship with our blessed Lord. It just pays to do that. We never know what's going to happen in this old world we're living in. But anyhow, that man went down and bought our tickets for four of us. Paid for them himself. Must have cost over $100. It's 500 miles to Santiago. And I never thought to pay him. I just never thought about it. Honest, I got on the plane, was taking off out of Santiago. And I thought, well, that man paid for our ticket. And I thought, anyone that got that mad, he ought to buy our tickets. There's more involved to it than I've told you. But I want to tell you, beloved, it was a testimony to the glory of God. What am I saying? Beloved, if we'll build up ourselves on our most holy faith, if we'll pray in the Holy Spirit will get us ready for the emergencies. Amen? And remember, this is one way, he said, to build up yourself on your most holy faith is by praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, you'll find in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, it plainly tells us that praying in the Spirit is praying in other tongues. For Paul said there, he said in 1 Corinthians 14, he said in the 14th verse, by the way, he said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. He said, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit is praying, you see. And then verse 15, he says, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. See, he was writing to these Corinthians because they were abusing these beautiful gifts. They were using tongues instead of the preaching of the word. It was all tongues. He said, look, he told them there in the 18th verse, he said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. And some people take this scripture to put down speaking in tongues because they take it out of context. They say, see there, Paul said he'd rather speak five words in his understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. They don't read the verse just before that. He said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Now listen, folks. If he spoke in tongues more than those Corinthians, that's what he's writing them for, because they were abusing the gift. He spoke in tongues more than them all, but he did it at the right time, the right place. You know where I believe he did most of it? Now, he told them in the public assembly there should be tongues when there's interpretation, like we believe, you know. There should be tongues. When we're all praying together, there's a time for it. But when the word's going forth, we honor the word of God, don't we? By that we teach one another. You see, we give the word preeminence. But Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Later on, he said, forbid not to speak in tongues. He wasn't telling them not to do it. He's telling them when to do it and how to do it. Isn't that what teaching is for? So when did Paul do it? He must have done it sometime. He spoke in tongues more than them all. I'm convinced, beloved, in my own heart, most of his tongues was when he was praying. He prayed in the Spirit. Because how many times he said he prayed day and night for certain ones? He said he carried them on his heart. The churches, he travailed for them in prayer. I believe, beloved, much of it was in the Spirit. As he prayed, he let the Holy Spirit help him. Now, if you go to Romans, this explains it. This explains it thoroughly. If you go to Romans, the 8th chapter, the 26th, 27th verses, it tells us there, verse 26 says of Romans 8, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered or articulated. And he that searcheth the hearts, now listen to this, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Hallelujah. Dear ones, I believe we need to emphasize in this hour the ministry of the Holy Spirit in helping us to pray. He'll help us to witness. He'll help us to sing. One of his names is Helper. He's called the Paraclete, you know that, which means call to help. But beloved, I believe perhaps one of the greatest, if not the greatest ministers of the Holy Spirit is to help us pray. For the scripture plainly tells us we know not how to pray as we ought. How many times have you prayed and you really weren't sure just how to pray about it? Your mind wasn't enlightened enough. You wanted God to help, but how could God help? Sometimes, have you ever found yourself in a situation where anything you do would be wrong? You knew if you did it one way, it would be taken wrongly. If you did it another way, The old devil will put you on a dead-end street. There's no way out. But I tell you, Jesus said, I am the way. When you come to those points where your natural mind has gone as far as it can, friend, let the Holy Spirit come. Let the Holy Spirit help you. He'll make intercession for you according to the will of God. He knows all things. He searcheth all things. And he'll pray a hole through that circumstance for you. Hallelujah. And take you with him through it. I said, the Holy Spirit, he'll make intercession for us according to the very will of God. Isn't that beautiful? I want to tell you something. I want to challenge us. I believe if all full gospel people, if all of us who know about the Holy Spirit and have been especially been filled with the Spirit, if every day we will let the Holy Spirit help us pray. I mean pray in English, but pray until the Holy Spirit gives us our prayer language and we pray in the Spirit. Most of our problems will be averted before we get to them. Because he knows the future. I've seen over and over again the Lord coming. Of course, we're traveling all the time, and you travel these days, you're going to hit some rough spots once in a while. You're going to hit some danger zones. You're going to get on the old devil's territory. But again and again, we've seen the Lord give us deliverance in places, and suddenly we thought of that right before that, there was a time of real intercessory prayer, either by us or someone burdened for us. You see, the Holy Spirit anticipated that. I believe I'm alive, and perhaps most of you are too, because prayer made a way for us when Satan would have cornered us and cut us off short. You see, don't ever think that there's just a certain time when you're going to die. There is, in one respect, there is, one sense there is. But how long we live, we play a part in that. You see, because there are promises that promises us longevity if we obey the Scripture and trust the Lord. And even to children, he said, obey thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land where thou goest to dwell. Amen? The first commandment with promise. And beloved, I believe with us as Christians, if we will avail ourselves of what God has given us through the Holy Spirit, if we will pray, yes, every day, but not only in English, pray until you can pray in the Spirit, until you can let the Holy Spirit do it. How many know he never coerces us? He always lets us make the choice. God never makes choices for us. In this respect, God has put us, some say, in the class that God's in. Well, in only one respect, we're in God's class, and he lets us make the decision. But beloved, I want you to know, never take that too far, because God is still on the throne. This is the body of our humiliation. One day we'll be like him. We'll see him like he is. But now we're in the body of our humiliation. How many know it's limited? How many know our natural mind is limited? We never know all about something. We only receive a partial knowledge. Now we know in part, the Scripture says. Now we know in part. God, when he gives us a word, he gives us a word, not all the word. He gives us, as we pray and trust him, what we need for that moment, for that occasion. But the next moment will depend on our fellowship with him, and he'll be there to meet us then. Are you following? God will never give man to where man is sufficient in himself. Forget it. Our sufficiency is never of ourselves. The Scripture says our sufficiency is of God. But how many believe he's big enough to be our sufficiency? Can you see it? It just simply puts us where God's planned and purposed. In this life, we're dependent on him. In this life, he is God. He's sovereign. He's Lord. And as we have fellowship with him and keep this relationship he's given us, develop this faith by praying in the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit help us, the Lord will impart to us this limited mind of ours, these limited faculties we have. God will impart to us, beloved, that which we lack. The Bible says ye are complete in him who is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What we lack, God makes up. That's why some of us that lack so much, we have more to rejoice in, because he'll make it all up. He is our completeness. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Have any of you ever had the trouble with inferiority complex? You felt like others could do it, but you couldn't? No testimonies, please. We'd all testify, wouldn't we? Oh, I tell you, dear ones, there have been times, I'm sure every preacher faces this, there have been times when, oh, that old enemy fought me on this until I just knew the biggest favor I could do the Lord and the people would just be never open my mouth again. You know. Oh, he can just push you back in the corner. Make you think it, you know, you can't do it. Well, there's truth in it. We can't, but he can, and he will. In our weakness, his strength's made perfect. In our helplessness, he comes and reveals his sufficiency. Why? That the glory and the power may be of God, not of us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that God might get the praise and God might get the glory. And as long as we give him the glory and the praise and keep our humble attitude toward him, keep humble at his feet and keep a fellowship there, the Lord will be our sufficiency, dear hearts. We don't have to be afraid of the future. We don't have to be afraid of ourselves. We don't have to be afraid of our circumstances. God is with us and the Holy Spirit is in us. And we can pray in the Holy Spirit, say, Jesus, I know this is too big for me, but Jesus, I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm looking to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's your sufficiency. He's your completeness. When the old devil comes and tries to separate you from your Lord and make you think of yourself in your little weakness, just pull the Lord into that real quick. Say, oh, yes, I know that's true of me, but look here. How about my Jesus? How about the one I'm trusting? How about this Lord I'm leaning on? How about this Lord who's died for me and risen again? And right now, he's at the right hand of the Father. Hey, what's he doing there? The Bible says Jesus is there interceding for you and me. Someone's praying for us all the time. All the time, the Lord is there. Don't you ever think no one's praying for you. No one cares. No one knows. Jesus knows every minute. He's praying for you every minute. Now, that's what faith tells us because the Word says so. Amen? And it gives us confidence. It gives us assurance. And without that, we'd be overwhelmed with fear and doubt and circumstances. You know, we'd become a fraidy cat. I never will forget, our children were overseas. Our other daughter and her husband, he was in the Air Force in Germany. And their little girl, they were overseas for 2 years. They came back and they met us at my mother's. And their little girl, of course, they'd been on the plane and this and that and the other. And she was a little apprehensive because she'd been away from America and she's just about three or four, maybe five, I don't know. Still pretty small. And we were out on the porch. Oh dear, so funny. And we sat there talking and having fellowship, you know. Well, the night shadows began to fall on the street light there. And the street light, you know how it will throw your shadow against the house? And so I began to make some, you know how you make things with your hands on the wall and using that shadow. And we were having, you know, just having fellowship together and all. And our little granddaughter, she was skipping around there and having a wonderful time. And all of a sudden, she turned around real quick and she saw her own shadow on the front of the house. He said, oh, and she screamed and ran from her own shadow. I said, honey, that's just your shadow. But you know, it was so real, that little thing. Of course, being, you know, in the state of mind she was in, she'd become a fraidy cat. She ran in the house. She wouldn't come back on the porch. Her own shadow scared her off the porch. Now, how many know, how many will agree with me that her shadow couldn't hurt her? But how many agree with me, it might make her hurt herself getting away from it? Now you say, Brother McAdams, how ridiculous. Listen, friend, are you listening? God's given us his word. He's given us the Holy Spirit to take from us that awful fear. Because listen, friend, fear hath torment. Fear can cause us to run from less than our own shadow sometimes. Amen? And we can create our own problem. Are you listening? Oh, dear friend, let me tell you this morning, God has given us the Holy Spirit. And he's given us his word so that you and I, though we're in a world of fear, we need have no fear. Though we're in a world beset by danger, we can be perfectly safe. Let me tell you this, as you look to your Lord, in one sense, you're just as safe here on earth as you would be in heaven through your trust and confidence in him. Anything that touches you has to go through his permission. And if he permits it to touch you, he's going to give you grace and be with you in it. Amen? Sister Johnson will say amen. Become real to us in spite of handicap. Jesus is real. And don't ask me to explain all these things. My mind's too limited. I don't know. I don't have all the answers. But I know this. Jesus has given us all the answers here, and he's given us his promise never to leave us. And what we lack, he makes up. In our weakness, his strength's made perfect. We need never give in and feel defeated by our circumstances. And doesn't it amaze you how God gives grace to some that seemingly have had more against them than maybe you and I, and they rise above it, and they're victorious over it and through it? Doesn't that encourage you? And I want you to tell you, that's the same way when you and I rise above our situation. You know what we're going to do? We're going to help others that's going through that. Don't you like to help others? How many like to be a blessing to others? And I'll tell you, one good way to stay in the victory God gives you, just start sharing it. You know, you say, look, I really had a battle with that old fear, but you know, the Lord's given me a peace that passes my understanding. I'm just not afraid of that anymore. I know the Lord's with me. I just don't let that old feeling hound me like it used to, because God's true, and I know the old devil's a liar. And next thing you know, like the scripture says, we comfort others with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lady told me that yesterday, how that the Lord already was helping her to help others with something she'd gone through. And she's helping others because God helped her. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. And beloved, God has given us, through His Word, by His Spirit, access to all we need for every problem, for every emergency. We have it through the Lord Jesus Christ. Just know that. Never feel like that you're going to be overwhelmed by your circumstances, which would, without Him, we would be. But no. He's already defeated death, hell, and the grave. Your Lord has done that. And He's with you to give you the confidence and the courage to rise up in His name. Hallelujah. And not only live in this world, but have an abundant life of joy and of testimony that His grace is sufficient. Praise His wonderful name. And I believe, beloved, perhaps our light shines the brightest when we're pressed for circumstances, and through faith in Christ, we look up and give Him praise and worship and thank God right in the midst of it. Friend, the world has to know God did that for you. Hallelujah. Your light's shining the brightest when the night's the darkest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. Therefore, beloved, build up ourselves on our most holy faith. How? Through reading the Word, faith comes by hearing the Word, and by praying in the Holy Spirit. Like we preached last night, just like God brought Israel back to Canaan, their promised land, He's bringing the church back to the Bible, our promise. This is our promised land. This is where God wants us to dwell, is in the promises. How many have found out our feelings are too undependable? Our feelings can change. They're affected by how circumstances are or our physical condition. But friend, our faith supersedes all feelings. Our faith in Jesus Christ is in one who's steadfast. He never changes. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that's true? And you just look to Him no matter what. Now, I told you, I'm like you. I thank God when I have the good feelings. We all love them. And God gives them to us at times. But don't depend on them. I said, don't depend on them. Thank God when everything feels good and looks good and tastes good and smells good. But, beloved, when everything's in reverse and the wind changes direction and it's all bad and all of that, realize that Jesus is still just the same. And that's when I believe, really, your testimony is counting the most, is when, in the midst of the circumstances difficult, you're thanking God because you know His Word's true. After all, let's face it, it isn't so hard to trust Him when He's got His arms around us, you know, so to speak, and His presence is so near. But I tell you, sometimes we may feel like He's a million miles away, but He's just as close as when we felt His presence. For He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And that's when we look up and say, Jesus, I know You're here. I know because You said so. Don't you know that pleases Him? Don't you know it does? And remember, it's good to say it. It's good to pray it. Amen? Because that's what He's given us. He says, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, reading the Word, praying in the Holy Spirit, and tomorrow morning we'll go to the next truth, keeping ourselves in the love of God. Keeping ourselves. He brought us there, but we have a responsibility to keep ourselves in the love of God. For the faith He's given us will only operate in His love. I'll get on that tomorrow, but this is so important. The old devil won't fight your faith near as much as he will your love. Your love for God. He knows if he can get us out of love, our faith is nil. For though I have faith to move mountains and have not love, it profiteth me. How much? Nothing. So, dear ones, though you have faith like a little mustard seed, you stay in the love of God, and you're going to have a mustard tree on your hands before very long. Hallelujah. Producing fruit, because God's love is the atmosphere He's given us. We're going to get on that tomorrow. And this is the heart of the whole thing. He said, this is how we won't have to worry about being apostate and those that's going off the deep end somewhere. If we'll do these things, you see. Peter said, if you do these things, you'll never fall. You'll never fall, see. So if we'll do these things, build up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping ourselves in the love of God. How many this morning are glad that God loved you first and brought you into His love? Aren't we? He brought us in. When we were the weakest, He did it. When we were the furthest from Him, He reached out and brought us in. Didn't He? He did it. We couldn't have saved ourselves. Not a one of us. Now, dear ones, if He saved us when we couldn't save ourselves, when we were the weakest and knew the least, if God could do it then, how much more can He keep now what we commit unto Him? Because we can return that love. Are you following? Keep yourself in the love of God, and in that keeping place is your security. You're just as safe on earth as in heaven if you'll stay in His love. Well, I've got to watch, or I'll be getting on it. I can't wait. But I'm not going to tell you another thing about it till in the morning. Oh, and it's good. You be here and bring 15 people with you.